Summer does arrive in 2 weeks, but the hot weather is here already. And even if you didn't notice, there's a chance your vehicle did. Hot weather can be as hard on cars as it is on living things. You do not want to see the engine temp light get bright on your car's dashboard. Let's talk about the ways in which summer stresses your car. Our monthly squeaky wheel segment focuses on just that this time. Zach Edwards is the proprietor of Ashland Automotive. Give a call with details on your own hot weather car experience. 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org. Zach, thanks for joining us once again.
Hey, hi, Jeff. Thanks.
So we can actually pick up a little bit from where we left off last time, because we were talking about air conditioning systems and how important they are and the things they do to your car and your car can do with them and what they do for you. I never got to ask the question about there are times when I'm going up a steep hill and I will actually turn the air conditioner off just to provide a little more power to the engine. Am I just kidding myself?
No, not at all. It's greatly dependent on the design of your car and the age of the car. If you have an older car, such as maybe you or I drive, I know I'm saying because my 1997 Toyota truck, it makes a big difference too when I turn the air conditioning off. The air conditioning compressor is belt driven on those older cars, and a lot of those engines were underpowered. And so when you're turning the AC compressor, it is taking away available power. So if you think about a glass of water, there's only so much water in there. And you're taking away a significant portion of it by running your air conditioning compressor. So you can probably feel the difference in your old car when you turn that off, and as I can too. So it does make a difference. But on new cars, they're generating so much more power with so much less. The engines are much more efficient by design and smaller and more powerful. So when I would say if you're driving even a 2000 six or newer, you're probably not going to notice much of a difference. If you have a smaller engine, you know, a common car around here would be a Subaru, you might actually notice a little bit of a difference if you were pulling an extremely steep hill. Like, you know, the Siskiyou Summit is, I think, the steepest pass on the West Coast.
I believe so, you're right, yes.
Yeah, that's a great example of extremes. And there are probably some drivers who would notice a difference if they turned off their air conditioning. But in theory, the car was designed to be able to operate with air conditioning on in all conditions. So we shouldn't have to turn our air conditioning off. But when cars get in a certain state of disrepair, it certainly helps.
And age, yeah. It seems like it gave me another 2 or 3 miles per hour going over the Siskiyou anyway, so that's what I tended to do with the older cars.
Yeah.
So let's talk about general summer stresses, even if you're not driving on the Siskiyou Summit, which, and I've watched a few motorhomes catch fire going up that mountain over the years, just in normal conditions, when it gets to be 110 degrees, as it does to be in parts of the area, you're putting some stress not just on yourself but your car as well. What tends to be the thing that is of greatest concern or the thing you're going to see most as a mechanic?
Well, certainly cooling systems are under extreme stress with heat. You know, heat and pressure are directly related when it comes to the physics of cars. And, you know, your cooling system, which is separate from your air conditioning system, that's what's responsible for absorbing the heat that's naturally created by friction from your engine. And then it lets that heat go by means of your radiator. And so, interestingly enough, the radiator and the air conditioning condenser are they're positioned right next to each other in the front of the engine compartment. And so when you run your air conditioning, you do put a little more stress on the cooling system as well, because you're generating more heat. You're trying to dissipate heat that has been withdrawn from the cabin area, trying to dissipate that heat to the atmosphere. And at the same time, your radiator is trying to dissipate the heat from the engine to the atmosphere. And with those two dissipation devices right next to each other, it can become a little more difficult. So it's all the more important that your cooling system's in tip-top shape and your engine's in good shape. So the cooling system, back to that, it's really important that it can work to its fullest potential. And oftentimes when weaknesses or small problems are present, they become magnified with the heat.
So what is the coolant these days? I mean, it's gotten to be one of those systems that you just kind of fill up one reservoir over here and never, people hardly ever open radiators anymore. So what's the coolant mix that's generally there now? And should that change for the summer? Do you want to change some of the fluids in your car? Do you want to change your oil in addition to changing your coolant?
Certainly it's good to have fresh oil for a long drive. But there's not really a need to, say we're talking about a 3,000-mile interval, I wouldn't think you would need to change your engine oil after 1,500 miles just because it's summertime. Your oil is designed to last throughout its designed life cycle through a variety of heat.
What about changing oil viscosity in the summer? I mean, you want to change the grade of oil in the summer at all?
Not really. Mm-hmm. With newer cars, they're so well engineered that they're very, very dependent on the proper weight and viscosity. And so, again, with our older cars, I would change maybe to a heavier viscosity. With my old Volkswagen, of course, it's very, very dependent on oil for cooling, oil and air only. But modern cars, they really have been built with the understanding that 99% of the drivers are not going to pay much attention to the needs of the car other than, oil changes, maybe.
So that they're meant to be rather low in maintenance then.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. That's why the advent of what some people call the idiot light. There's so many lights on the dash now to warn drivers of potential problems, and if a light's not on, most people are just going to assume the car is fine. Mm-hmm. And so the oil doesn't really need to be changed in the cooling system. The coolant is an ethylene glycol. You asked about that, and that's the same as it's always been, but there's just different variations of that. So some systems, depending on the aluminum alloys in the engine design, require phosphate-free ethylene glycol or some sort of special chemical composition, but it's a lot of cars are running a lifetime coolant now. And again, I think we've talked before in the past about the myth of lifetime fluids. It's a great concept, but it's more of a marketing gimmick by manufacturers to quash the fears of any consumers that the maintenance cost of that particular make might be a little too high. Say a BMW. Well, they BMW came out with a lot of lifetime fluids that turned out to, not at all be lifetime fluids. And one of them was the transmission oil. And I kind of have a note here to talk about transmission oil. Gets very hot in the summertime, especially pulling in passes like the Siskiyou Summit. And when the transmission oil gets hot, you're not getting the protection inside your transmission. And transmissions can be $10,000 nowadays. So,
ouch.
It's really important that drivers just find a shop that they really can trust. And if somebody's telling them to change an oil or a fluid, they probably should change the oil or the fluid because it's much cheaper to do that than risk damaging that particular powertrain component.
So we've gotten used to the idea that oil needs to be changed every 3,000 miles. What are the usual mileage ratings for coolant or for transmission oil?
Coolant, well, again, it's difficult because the consumers are being told one thing by the manufacturer and maybe something different by the dealership or by their independent shop. Mm-hmm. So with me, coolant I would change every 2 to 3 years, even if it's a lifetime coolant. Mm-hmm. A coolant change is usually less than $200, and it just is a good idea to do it. Mm-hmm. With engine oil, I change mine. If it's conventional oil, I change it every 3,000. If it's synthetic, I change it every 5. Mm-hmm. Certainly, the oil is designed to last longer, but what can happen is engine oil can burn more easily when it's synthetic than if it's just basic crude oil. And so what can happen is although the life of the oil is okay, the oil level becomes low. And if the driver is not checking their oil level, which most people don't, then you can run your car very low on oil, even though the condition of the oil is actually okay. And so we recommend 5,000 for our drivers, just so we get in there and can check that level. And some drivers want to go longer and want to push it, but Oil changes are cheap in terms of the grand scheme of things with how expensive car repair is.
They really are one of the cheaper bits of maintenance you can do. We're talking to Zach Edwards from Ashland Automotive on the Squeaky Wheel segment, talking about summer car preps and the things that can go wrong as we drive into hotter and, in fact, dustier weather. We can get into that as well. Want to hear from you about issues with your car. 800-838-3760 to join the conversation by phone. 800-838-3760 or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Bill in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Zach Edwards.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I got two quick questions regarding a pre-2000 year car vehicles dealing with air conditioning. I like to drive my windows open, but I was told that driving highway speeds are kind of fast. It's more economical to drive with your air conditioner on than to have the air drag with your windows open. Also, my other question is, if you're driving in extremely hot, and it's really hot, and you're worried about your engine overheating, it would be very cost-effective to have your windows open and actually turn your heater on to get the heat out of the engine if you're really worried about it. It's really extreme. That's all.
All right. Thanks for that, Bill. Appreciate that. So part one about that, about creating additional drag on the car and work for it with the windows open.
Yep. So according, and we mentioned this, I think, last month as well, according to the corporate average fuel economy, the CAFE standards, that's the governmental test that they run, they have determined that fuel economy is actually better with the air conditioning on and the windows up at highway speeds than with the windows down and the air conditioning off due to the increase of the drag coefficient. So whether that's true or not, those tests have a lot of set conditions that are hard to recreate in real life, but I think it's a wash, and so I'd rather drive with some comfort, have my windows up and the air conditioning on, than with the windows down. And you could run a couple of tests, Bill, and if you run the same stretch of road, if you run the same stretch of freeway regularly, you could try it one day versus the next. But, you know, air temperature and driving conditions and who's, you know, are you behind a semi truck? There's so many conditions that we can't.
Oh, yeah, drafting, sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
Lots of variables there. What about the other part of what Bill was talking about, though? The idea that if your engine looks like it's about to overheat, to open the windows and crank up the heat.
Yeah, so it sounds like if you have a problem with your engine and your engine is running warmer than normal, it is one thing you can do would be to turn the heat on. You don't need to roll the windows down, but you probably heard that because you need to roll the windows down because your heat's on in the summertime. But turning the heat on is another way to dissipate the heat from the engine, because as the radiator lets the heat go out to the atmosphere, there's also a heater core, which is the same thing as a radiator. It's just mounted in the dash and it's much smaller, and air gets blown across that heater core the same way that air flows across your radiator, and that on the other side of that heater core, the air is much hotter. And so that's how cars get heat into the cabin area. And so when you're using the heat function, you are allowing one more area of heat dissipation, and that's going to cool your car down. So definitely if you're having a problem, but you shouldn't have to do that. You shouldn't have to turn your heat on to keep your car running at normal temperature. That's definitely an indicator of a problem.
That is a problem. That's usually what, something clogged in the cooling system?
Well, it could be a variety of things, but it's something causing your car to not run at proper temperature. And anytime you're doing that, you're creating a huge amount of stress for the internal engine components. You know, they're running at 2,000 to 3,000 revolutions per minute. They're basically touching each other with just a thin film of oil separating them. And so all of these things come into play in terms of longevity of the engine. And engines can take a huge amount of beating nowadays, because they're so well designed. But where that stress and beating comes into play is usually in the later stages. So if you want to get 200,000 miles out of an engine, you have to take care of it when it's young, just kind of like our bodies.
Well, that brings up a good point then. If your car is relatively new to you, is there a break-in period per se? I mean, do you still think in those terms? I know that I think we hear that it's like, oh, no, your car's ready to run from day one. But, I mean, should you run it a little easier in the first 2,000 miles or something?
Every car is different. and manufacturers will tell you their guidelines for break-in, but most cars don't require a break-in. They've been broken in at the factory. Those engines have gone through a break-in period on the bench, actually, before they've been installed. And so, but then there's other, you know, more high-performance applications where the manufacturer might actually specify certain break-in procedures. But for most of us driving most of the cars out there, the answer is no, there's no real break-in period.
One thing I definitely want to ask about before you go, which is air filters. I mean, considering how many dusty roads there are in the state of Jefferson, is this something you definitely want to take a look at in the summertime?
Definitely. And this is a thing that's a lot of times shops will recommend an air filter, and then the customer will get home and look at the air filter and say, you know, this air filter looks fine. The truth is that air filters filter at such a level of, you know, it's microns. And so when an air filter starts to become clogged, you can't see it. It could be 20% reduced in airflow, and it's not even visible to the naked eye because it's filtering microns. And so by the time an air filter is actually visibly dirty, it is so far diminished in terms of the ability of air to flow through it that it really can restrict the performance of your car. So definitely air filters need to be changed, you know, once or twice a year. And in our region, we've got ash and dust and the conditions here. So it's regional, but yes, change the air filters frequently.
Okay, quickly before we go, tires, tire pressure.
Tires, big deal in the summertime. A lot of friction is created with tires rolling down the road. And tread depth of your tires, a lot of people think that really only matters in the wintertime when we're trying to shear water out of the way and have good traction. But it also matters in the summertime. Pavement temperatures get very hot, and the friction can greatly increase your chance of a blowout. So having, and you know, you're risking not only your life, but the lives of everybody around you on the freeway when you're driving with old tires. So,
all right, so take care of those tires and take care of the car on the hot days of summer. Zach Edwards at Ashland Automotive with the squeaky wheel. Always good to talk to you.
Yeah, you too, Jeff. Thank you.